Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, it's Christmas time, so I thought we ought to talk about something related to Christmas. And one of the favorite parts of Christmas for me is all of the music. I could listen to some Christmas music all year long, but I especially enjoy it as soon as Thanksgiving is past and right on through till New Year's. Now, I know some people get really tired of Christmas music, but you know, there is so many different kinds of Christmas music by so many artists. There's an unending variety of music. Some you would describe as lovely, some as lively, some as wacky. You know, you might have your own description. But today, I'd like to share with you some stories about the beginnings of some of the songs that we're hearing at Christmas. Many of them are carols, but some of them are not. Such as, "All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth." How did that come about? Well, this, of course, is sung from the perspective of a child with a simple wish. And A Fleet of Children actually was its inspiration. In 1944, grade school teacher Donald Yetter Gardner and his wife Doris sat down with a group of second graders in Smithtown, New York, to help them compose a song for Christmas. While there are different versions of the origin, they all involve a bunch of children saying, "All I want for Christmas is," and then it was different for each child. It's not so much that any students wished for those absent front teeth, but more that Gardner was charmed by their requests, hindered by their toothless lisping. That's hard to say, toothless lisping. As Gardner told it, he went home that night and in just 30 minutes penned the Christmas tune that would earn him royalties until his death in the fall of 2004. A performance at his school of the song led to a meeting with a music company and ultimately to Spike Jonze and his City Slickers recording the ditty in 1948. Gardner gave up his teaching job, became a music consultant and editor, and later remarked in awe of his own success, saying, "I was amazed at the way that silly little song was picked up by the whole country." So there's one of those silly songs, but lots of people have recorded it, and I'm guessing that many of you at least know those beginning words, "All I want for Christmas are my two front teeth." Well, also on the lighter vein is Jingle Bells. Though one of the most popular non-religious Yuletide tunes, Jingle Bells was not originally conceived for Christmas time. It was written by James Lord Pierpoint in the 1850s in Savannah, Georgia. And the song, originally titled "The One Horse Open Sleigh," was intended to celebrate Thanksgiving. The local Unitarian church where he'd later play the song on the organ boasts historical markers declaring it is the birthplace of Jingle Bells. However, some sources insist that he was belting the memorial melody as early as 1850, when he still lived in Medford, Massachusetts. Well, it doesn't matter where it started. It's still one of those really popular songs. And it was renamed in 1857 to Jingle Bells when its lyrics and notes were first published. It made history on December 16, 1965, becoming the first song broadcast in space. The crew of Gemini 6 followed reports of seeing Santa Claus with an improvised version of Jingle Bells, which included bells and a harmonica that they had snuck on board. So Mission Control responded to the surprise serenade with, "You're too much, 6. Well, what about a couple of other, maybe more what we think of as Christmas carols? How about "O Little Town of Bethlehem"? This religious carol tells us the tale of the birth of Jesus and was inspired by a pilgrim's moving Christmas Eve experience in the Holy Lands. Philip Brooks was a distinguished man of faith and intellect, a Boston-born Episcopalian preacher. He earned a Doctorate of Divinity from the University of Oxford, taught at Yale University, and publicly advocated against slavery during the Civil War. But he's best known for writing O Little Town of Bethlehem after his life-changing journey. In 1865, Brooks rode on horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, where he participated in the Church of the Nativity's five-hour-long Christmas Eve celebration, complete with hymns. Returning home, this experience proved so profound that he channeled it into the song sung in churches to this day. Its first public performance was held 3 years later, performed by the children's choir of his church on December 27th. That would be in 1868. Kind of interesting how some of the songs are relatively new. Some of them, of course, are, many of them, I think, are from the 1800s, and, of course, some of them older than that. Here's another one in the 1800s, O Tannenbaum. This is commonly translated as Gold Christmas Tree, and this comes from Germany. The earliest version of the song dates back to the 16th century, so there's an older one, when McClure Frank wrote a folk song about the tradition of bringing a small fir tree into one's home to decorate and sit beside the seasonal nativity scene. This decorating tradition and its celebratory song moved from Germany to the U.S. along with the immigrants from Germany. And moving on to Good King Wenceslas. Where did that come from? Well, this unconventional but beloved carol dates back to 1853, when English hymn writer John Mason Neal first penned its lyrics. Set to the tune of a 14th century carol, The Time is Near for Flowering, Good King Wenceslas focuses on the journey of a kind man who set out in terrible weather on the post-Christmas holiday of St. Stephen's Day to provide aid to poor neighbors. The king in this title was real. Wenceslas I, Duke of Bohemia, and he ruled from 924 to 935, and he was assassinated by his own brother. Maybe not the kind of name we'd like to think about, but it sings well. So that's how that song came to be. And this Wenceslas, the real guy, his acts of charity led him to be posthumously declared a king and eventual upgrade to sainthood. So he is now the patron saint to the Czech Republic. What about, here's another more lighthearted one, not so much a carol, Deck the Halls. A lot of us like to sing that song. It's a fun, lighthearted song. This jaunty tune dates back to the 16th century in Wales, where its melody and much of the lyrics were stolen from New Year's Eve song. And lines like, oh, how soft my fair one's bosom, fa-la-la-la-la, were transformed into Yuletide wishes like, deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la. This musical makeover was done by a Scottish folk music scribe who built his reputation on old melodies with new lyrics. In 1862, his Deck the Hall was published, and he'd go on to become a renowned translator of songs as well as a lyricist for the court of Queen Victoria. But Oliphant's version is not the most commonly one sung today. Now called Deck the Halls, lines like fill the mead cup, drain the barrel have been swapped for now don we now our gay apparel, and this variant became popular from revised music sheet printings made in 1877 and 1881. So as people sang them, they kind of got changed along the way to kind of fit whoever was singing them or fit the times a little more so. Well, it's interesting to me, and I hope it was a bit interesting to you to hear the stories behind the composition, the lyrics, the music of some of our favorite carols and other Christmas tunes, because they are so important in our world at Christmas time. Yeah, very interesting. So Until next time, here's a thought from Calvin Coolidge. Christmas is not a time nor a season, but a state of mind. To cherish peace and goodwill, to be plenteous in mercy, is to have the real spirit of Christmas.